Tonight we want to talk from James chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading in verse 21 and continue reading through verse 25. James 1, 21 through 25. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. Now, what I would like for us to do for just a few moments this evening is to take a look at the implanted word. I think King James uses engrafted word. And if you go to the dictionary, you'll find that these two words mean exactly the same way. Mr. Webster defines the word implant or engraft as a shoot or a bud of a plant or tree that is inserted into the stem or trunk of another tree or plant where it grows permanently. Now, some of you may have experimented with stuff like this in school. I know I did. We tried to cross vegetables together, and that has been successfully done in the past, where you would combine two plants to make a single plant. The most popular one that I remember studying about was the pomato. Does anybody know what a pomato is? It's a grafted between a potato and a tomato. And believe it or not, it produced a hard fruit that was red that tasted nothing like a tomato or a potato. But it is a real thing, and especially in college, if you get into some of those areas in college, you'll get a chance to do that type of thing. And it was actually a lot of fun to be able to do that. But, you know, it's such an unusual thing to see or to hear about. But that's what it means to implant or to engraft something. You know, several observations can be made like this about the Word of God from our text, and some of the things that if we will implant ourselves with God in our lives, it will do many things for us. And that's what I want us to talk about this evening. First of all, we receive the implanted word, which is the power of the word of God. And you know, as James himself, back in verse 21, it says, this implanted word is able to save your souls. So there is power right there in the fact that the Word of God can do something that we simply cannot do for ourselves, and we cannot do this for each other. It states very clearly that God's Word has the power to remove sin from our lives and to save our souls. Now, several scriptures tell us how this actually happens. It is able to save our souls because it will create anew. Now, Jesus tells us in John chapter 3 and verse 5 that we must be born again. He said this to Nicodemus. He said, verily I say unto you, except you be born of water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. There is a second birth involved in being a Christian. Peter mentions being born again. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, he said, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now, God's Word contains this power to make us all brand new. And I know you may not think of yourself as brand new, but every time that you get up in the morning and you pray to your Heavenly Father for forgiveness of sin, you're beginning your day brand new. Because God will forgive you every day, because that's what the Word of God does. It creates everything anew. It is incorruptible. and it will also go on forever. It's not like the word of man. Now, the word of man is corruptible, and the word of man cannot be, be to the point to where you can trust it and you can depend on it. Because sometimes man's words are not always true, is it? We know that for a fact. Man's words do not last, but God's word will abide forever. It has the ability to create anew. God's power also has the ability, okay, let's hit it again, to sanctify, there we go, to sanctify, which simply means to set apart or to be made holy. David, he talked about this in Psalm 19, beginning with verse 7. He sang a song about God's word having the ability to sanctify the people. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So the word of God has the power to sanctify us in our lives. Jesus spoke of this sanctifying influence in John chapter 17 and verse 17. He said, sanctify them by your truth, because your word is truth. So the word of God can set us apart for his purposes, and it has the ability to sanctify us as well. It has the ability to do something else. It has the ability to preserve us as well. You know, David told the young to preserve their way by using the word of God. Psalm 119 and verse 9, he said, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to your word. That's how you do it. You cleanse yourself by taking heed in obedience to the word of God. And then on down in verse 11, he says, your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. So we are to keep pure by using the word of God. And the church, we are to keep pure as a church by the very same way, by the word of God. The value of the implanted word is so important for us to understand. But it can only happen when certain conditions are met. And we find those conditions within the word itself as to how to do it. How do we benefit from the word of God? Well, we benefit from the powerful word of God. First of all, we must lay some things aside. There are some things that are considered to be sinful in life that we must simply put away. We must set them aside and move on to bigger and better things. James mentions these things such as all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. These are the things that James told us in our text that we must lay aside in our lives. Paul's description of this is found in Colossians chapter 3. In verse 5, I have verse 5 through 9, but we'll just read verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. These things must leave us completely if we are going to be children of God. In order for the word of God to bear fruit, or for us to bear fruit, we must use God's word. And the weeds of sin must be uprooted and taken away. We can't hope to achieve this without God's word. And the only way that we'll ever be able to do that is to study God's word. We also must maintain a proper attitude toward God's word. James said to receive it with all meekness. God's word must be received with meekness. You know, a humble and receptive attitude is essential if you're going to get the most out of God's word. You know, humility is pretty much essential in anything in life if you want to get the very best out of it. It helps the humble if we can do two things. It will help us be humble. we need to understand, first of all, we are sinners too. You know, a lot of times when we think about sinners, we want to start looking around the room, or we want to find someone else who is a sinner. We do not like to look in the mirror because we want to exclude ourselves from that list of sinners. But the fact is that we are indeed sinners. All of us can be easily deceived and fall into sin. Our prayer should be like the one David used in Psalm 119 and verse 18. He said, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." So it is the law of God that gives us the things that we need. And we can benefit from that by developing that proper attitude. The word must be implanted in our hearts for us to be able to achieve this implantation of God in our lives. We must be sure that we take out the words from the pages of God's word and put it into our lives. Otherwise, we are no different than the Jews, who we read of in the New Testament particularly, who just simply gave lip service to their religion. And even though their words were written in stone, as God did for Moses on the mountain, it still must be more than just lip service. Jesus spoke about these people in Matthew 15, verse 8. He said, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Where is the Word of God today? Some of you may say, "Well, I've got a copy of it on my coffee table." You know, that was a big thing back in the 60s, that everybody had a coffee table in their house, and one of the things in almost every coffee table was a huge, either black Bible or white Bible that would sit on that coffee table and just there for decoration. I remember so well as a kid, and I was old enough to know not to do this, but I did it anyway. We went to visit some friends of ours, and I went into their living room, and I saw the coffee table, and I saw the big Bible sitting on the coffee table. And guess what that big Bible had on it? Dust. So I wrote with my finger, "Read me." And the next day, the lady of that home called our house and told my mother, "Tell Farron I got his message." Because she knew that I would be the one to have done that. Yes, we must use God's word. It is more than just ink inscribed on paper. And not only must we read it often, we must meditate upon it. And we must do it daily so that it will become implanted within us. And then finally, to benefit from the implanted word, the powerful word of God, we must apply it to our lives. And again, we must be doers of the word and not hearers only, or otherwise we will deceive ourselves. Now, about this word deception, we need to understand, as Paul tells us in Galatians 6 and verse 7, we don't need to be deceived about ourselves and our Christianity. In fact, Paul says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap." So God understands deception, and he knows when we are trying to deceive ourselves and rid ourselves of God. Now, let me tell you something that you may not think about. Satan cannot be deceived either. Satan knows your weaknesses. He knows the things that are in your heart that is contrary in your mind about God. He watches you intensely. He is basically, as Peter said, he is stalking you like that roaring lion, and he is waiting for you just to take one step out of line, and he's ready to pounce. That's why we need to be looking into that perfect law of liberty that James is talking about in our text. And not only that, but continuing in it, not just knowing that it's there. There are so many people who know that God exists and who believe firmly in God's power and God's ability, but not to the point to where they are ready to obey. We have to be to the point that we are ready to take His Word, put it into our lives, live it every day in our lives, or basically it's useless to us. And that's what we must do. You know, I think it's very interesting that James used the example, perfect law of liberty. And he used this terminology because it can create something new. It can create us brand new. It can sanctify us, which is something that we cannot do for ourselves. And it can preserve us, and not for just maybe 6 months or a year, as things that we preserve generally last about that long. If we do preservation with food and whatnot, it don't last forever. But God's preservation lasts forever. It provides for you and me true freedom. And God is willing to give you true freedom in your life. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9 tells us that Jesus is the author of eternal salvation and will give eternal salvation to all of those who obey Him. And to obey Him, you take that powerful Word of God and you put it into your lives and live it each day of your life. Tonight, my friends, if you are not a Christian, you need to think seriously about your relationship with God, because you basically have no relationship with God right now. You need to put Him into your lives, put His Word into your heart, and live it every day of your life. And Christian friend, if you find that after doing this, you have allowed the world to creep back into your life, you need to think seriously about your relationship with God, because you are in the same situation as those who have never named Christ, because you have let sin back into your life. And you need to confess your sins. You need to repent of your sins and come back to your Lord today. Think about this implanted Word and how powerful it is and what it can do for you. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing this song.